His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. It's an easy, breezy, pleasant and pleasing morning here in Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 19th day of July 2018. Current temperature in the Divine Valley is a refreshing 23 degrees Celsius. We are expecting daytime highs of comfortable 29 degrees Celsius. We are experiencing low clouds, gentle breeze and a little bit of sunshine. Just the perfect blend of nature's elements in our spiritual paradise, Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. In the midst of all this, the Anantapur Golden Jubilee is nearing and the excitement barometer is about to burst. And to tell you more about it, about the why, the how, the who of the big day, which is coming up on Saturday, 21st of July, we have a number of our sisters from the Anantapur alumni in the studio this morning who are going to share some details with our listeners and also the rest of the alumni who are headed to Prashanthi Nilayam in the next little while. So hi, I have members from both the registration and accommodation teams as well as from the packaging team here with me. And I'm going to request all my sisters to kindly self-introduce themselves and then share the details. So my first question is about the when and how of registration. How did you begin this process? How did you disseminate the information? What has the experience of data collection been like so far?
Sai Ram, Karuna. I am Nirmala Shekhar from Singapore. I am a grateful alumna of the Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur, the class of 1985. In fact, it's been my blessing and Swami's blessing and a honor to be the first batch of the integrated curriculum of the Institute. Regarding the Golden Jubilee, all of us are really excited, and in fact the idea started last year when a simple ceremony was held in Anantapur to mark the starting of the 50th year of the Golden Jubilee celebrations.
In the campus, you mean?
In the campus, right. That's right. And from that point onwards, a lot of us have been just asking each other, next year is special, what can we do to put this all together? And these informal conversations kept going on and on with more and more people joining in these conversations. And finally, it took us some time to organize ourselves as we were all spread across the globe.
Clearly.
And once we got the idea together and the idea was crystallized, then we started organizing ourselves in teams, various teams, to put this all together. And from that point, I think Swami took over, because really the what we expected in terms of numbers of people coming, the numbers who have actually registered are much more than what we expected. And there's a wave of excitement that's happening across the globe. And ironically, I think technology is the one that's fueling this excitement.
That is positive use of technology, including Radio Sai, if I may.
Exactly, exactly. We have been using WhatsApp, we have been using Facebook, we have been using emails.
Telegram.
And of course, Telegram, and of course, plain phone calls across, reaching out to every batch that has graduated from Anantapur, right from 1969 all the way till 2018. So we have almost 50 batches of alumna that are coming together together and being represented in this Golden Jubilee celebrations. It's taken us a few months. We have reached out to girls and we have got information about who is coming, where are they, what kind of accommodation do they need. And we have been collating all this information. The sisters will be sharing how we put it all together. But for now, it's the joy of being together. In fact, some earlier batches are almost as old as the mothers of the younger batches. And we see some of the people coming in with their grandchildren. And we have some batches where some students where multi-generations are alumni of the institute, and that's really a marvelous, exciting feeling.
For sure. I mean, you're also yourself a mother of an alumna of this institute, although from a men's campus.
That's right.
And I just want to mention something here, dear listeners. Nirmala Shekhar pointed out that she was blessed to be in the first batch of integrated education of the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Also, it's my pleasure to share with you that she earned herself the all-rounder gold medal when she graduated. She was the first batch that graduated and earned the all-rounder gold medal. Am I right, Nirmala, if my memory serves me right?
I was in my final year when I got the medal.
Yes. What a special thing. And how nice to see you come back after so many years and to be so actively involved in Swami's work. I think that's very pleasing to our Lord that his daughters have really stayed yoked to his divine mission.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing in our life if not for Swami. So every aspect of our life is blessed by Swami.
Truly.
Yes.
You are well said. Well, I would also like to learn from you sisters, what was the response like to this blitz that Nirmala spoke of, you know, informing everybody of this big upcoming events? And then what were the main challenges? Because we were coordinating across so many continents. How did that work out?
Sairam, I'm Surekha Parthasarthi from the grateful alumni of the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning of the 1989 batch. Yes, of course, it was a very tough experience. First, we were wondering what we were going to be doing because around 2,200 alumni have registered and they are still registering. Thanks to the technology, well, as Nirmala had already mentioned, we made use of WhatsApp. We had a registration form where all the sisters had filled in the form and sent it through their mails. So our first job was to collate all the mails at a place and then at a drive. And then what we had done was we first started segregating the mails to sisters who require accommodation at the Prashanthi Nilayam and who do not. Then after that, again, sorting out, there were a few requests from the sisters who had wanted accommodations and they had special requests like they were either ill or their family members were ill and they had wanted, there were few sisters who wanted to bring their in-laws with them, with their parents, their in-laws, their kids. There were every sorts of people, I can say, I won't say all Sai devotees and all alumni, excited to come and meet each and every person. And then what we had done was we have tried to accommodate one and all at every place.
I see. And it sounds like such a happy family reunion.
Yeah. Sure.
There were so many special categories. If you have a special need, special request, that form was very well designed and it took care of a lot of details.
Yes, it was Swami's grace and the team.
And the thoughtfulness of the sisters who were behind it, if I may add. So as of now, where do we stand with regards to the registration? What are the total numbers with family and what is our current data? And I also want to know from you sisters, how many have already arrived? How many are yet to arrive?
Sairam, my name is Viji Dara from Tokyo. I'm a grateful alumna of Anantapur campus, graduated in the year 1985. I was also fortunate to be the part of the first batch of the Sri Satya Sai University with the integrated curriculum. And I was also blessed to be a lecturer in commerce during the year 1990 for two semesters when I got blessings from Swami and got married and had to leave the campus. To answer your question, Aruna, as Surekha was mentioning earlier, we have had around 2,200 registrations which we had received before we arrived here. And out of that, around 1,500 are expected to be in Prashanthi Nilayam for the event.
That will be the students.
That will be the alumnus.
And then the, with the families?
With the family, we are expecting around 2,800 plus members. As Surekha mentioned, many of them have already registered through the system ahead of coming here. But we also have cases where they have come in and they have been also requested.
On the spot registration.
On the spot registration.
So then these numbers will keep growing, I am guessing.
We believe so. And out of this 1,500, 900 are requested for accommodation. Half of them with families of 4 to 5 members. And as Surekha mentioned, we have also had requests where they have special needs and they have parents who are not able to climb upstairs. And for those with families and for those with special, requests, we have allotted rooms. And for those who have come in as single and for junior students, we have allotted accommodation in the Bhakta Nivas sheds.
I see. What can you tell us, Vijay, about which is going to be your busiest day in light of all this?
It's going to be today, this evening and tomorrow. And we have really geared up with all our students, alumnus, to be prepared for how we will manage and how we would
lot of registration it. Desks?
Yes, we have around 4 to 5 registration desks with 2 members, at each of the desks, with also support from members who are managing all the students will be waiting in the queue for the registration and for accommodation allocation.
I see. I realize that you have to rush back, Vijay, because you are part of the registration team. So before I let you go off, may I ask you what are your final thoughts on being at #ATPGJC?
I feel blessed to be part of this great celebration and also be able to meet with the fellow alumnus, many of them seniors, my lecturer, my teachers, and my fellow batchmates and juniors and even my students. So I really, really feel blessed to be part of this. And I think it's a wonderful experience for all of us.
Thank you. Surekha, I would like to, because you have to go back to the registration desk also, I would like to hear your final thoughts on being here at the Golden Jubilee.
The whole experience is mind-blowing. Of course, everything has Swami behind it. We really didn't know how we are going to work on it. Thank you, Swami, for everything. And I'm waiting for meeting all my batchmates, the seniors and the juniors. I'm really happy that I am, and proud also that I am an alumna of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
A university that has produced so many good citizens for 50 long years.
Yes. Yes, wonderful. It's all because of Swami.
Truly, yeah. Obviously. He is the driving force, yes. The source, the yes. Sustainer of
Without
everything.
Without Swami, I believe not even a leaf can move here or there. It is all Swami's blessings, and I'm sure He will make this program a grand success.
Amen to that. Thank you, Surekha. And now, what can we learn about the procedure for registering when girls arrive, and how are we managing? What are the requirements? Because there's such a vast number of girls coming from all over the world, from so many different countries. And where exactly is our registration located?
Sairam Didi, I am Achyuta from Vishakhapatnam district. I'm ever grateful. I'm grateful alumna of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur campus, class of 2009. And I was blessed as a teacher at Sri Satya Sai Primary School. Till June, I was working over there. Now, I would like to share with you few thoughts regarding the location and the ID requirements and the procedure also. The location is, like, as soon as they arrive at, sisters arrive at Patti, they need to reach N5 ground floor, which near Nityananda and Seva Canteen, and which is our registration counter for registration. And then we have arranged tables according to batches, like 20 batches in one table, like year 1968 to 2000. And then from another table, which we have arranged in another room from 2001 to 2018. Then the ID requirements which we wanted, like, this is for sisters who wanted accommodation inside the ashram, and sisters have to bring Indian government issued photo ID card. That can be Aadhaar card or driving license or PAN card for Indian citizens. For NRI's passport for registration, along with a passport size photograph for fill up Form C, available at accommodation office. And then for procedure, like we have prepared a registration form for different batches. The form contains like the name, year of passing out, city which they live in, and then contact number, email ID, room allotted, date of arrival, departure, all that, etc. And then along with the sister's number of family members, accompanying alumina, whether they need chairs for seating in Kulwant Hall. And we are providing badges also for alumina and asking them whether they have joined in WhatsApp groups or any Telegram or something like that. Then that's all, Didi.
What are the timings of the registration counter?
From morning 8 a.m. to night 8 p.m.
So 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. IST. Thank you, Achyuta. Now, what else can we learn about? Not everybody can time their arrival according to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. because flights are coming from, you know, different parts of the world. People are going to arrive at 3 a.m. at Bangalore Airport, or the Rajdhani Express arrives at 5 a.m. at SSPN railway station. So what happens to the people who arrive before 8 a.m. or after 8 p.m.?
Sairam Didi, my humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet. I'm Ekta Pathak from Nagpur, and I'm a very grateful and extremely humbled alumna of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, a batch of 2009. And coming to your question, Didi, I think people who are coming late, we have also made arrangements and
asked early.
Yeah, or early in the morning before 8 a.m. We've also made arrangements for them. When they're coming late in the night, they are allowed to enter the ashram. We have informed the guards. They will be, allowing them inside, and they can directly reach room number A4, N5 block. And
so that's the same block where the registration counter
exactly.
is, N5, next to Nitya Annadhanam Canteen.
Absolutely, yes.
So they go to room number A?
A4.
A4,
yeah.
Ground floor, fourth room. Okay.
So if they reach there, and we have the girls who are extremely kind to be, available for them whatever time they reach, so they'll be awake and they'll hand over the keys, whichever, if they have pre-informed regarding their arrival. So if they haven't informed, no need to worry about it. They can just come directly. We'll provide some accommodation after 8 p.m. or 8 a.m., sorry. And after the arrival, definitely we'll try to accommodate them somewhere in the ashram, either in the Bhakta Nivas, the Seva sheds, or in the accommodation allotted rooms, whichever we have available.
I see. And thank you very much, Ekta. I'll come back to you in a moment. Just for the sake of our listeners, the ashram is cooperating so well. Swami is being so such a fantastic host as always, that the ashram has graciously given us 150 rooms and number of large dormitories which are very well equipped with bunk beds, Western style toilets, all comforts, very comfortable with fans and good ventilation, so that depending on the need, some people need ground floor, some people have family accompanying, some people have male family members, some have elderly, small children, and some sisters are coming by themselves. So depending on the need and the composition of the family unit, we have adequate room for everyone who's arriving, because Swami's heart is very large and he's so happy to welcome his darling daughters, and he's opening all doors for us. Everyone in the ashram is so excited that so many of Swami's daughters are coming. So I just wanted to share that little bit of an insider tidbit with our listeners. Now, Ekta, what are your final thoughts on being here for this celebration?
More than me, I think my family is more excited about the event, because my husband is a fourth generation devotee, and getting those golden batches is such a beautiful moment for all of us. He's feeling like a son-in-law of Swami right now, and my in-laws also, they are extremely happy to be part of this event. And more than anything, I feel this event should be taken as a trigger point where we all, meet often more in our SSIO or samitis. We do more activities and we take the mission of love and service ahead for Swami. As daughters of Sai, we are remembered as, and as messengers of Sai, everyone should take note of how we are handling our own selves in our day-to-day lives, and take examples forward. This should be a point where all this excitement should, it should get into the right direction from way forward. That's my final thought. Also, I'm extremely happy to meet old alumni of this campus, because they are telling me that, you know, you are my granddaughter's age, and this makes me so happy when I see them, and it's so exciting.
We've been around for a while, half a century.
Absolutely, yeah.
Truly.
So much fun and so much, such nice feelings we have right now.
Yes, that is true. Yes, summed it up well for all of us. Thank you, Ekta.
Absolutely, thank you.
I'll now turn to Achita. What are your final thoughts, Achita, for being here at this moment?
I'm ever grateful to Swami. Like, you don't believe, when I enter the campus, it is like, means the very first day, when I went with my mother, because my mother never used to believe Swami. And that was like, when I told my mother that I got selected for my B.Ed. course, she was like, is it true, really? Something like that. Then, as soon as I entered the campus, I felt it is like Nandanavanam.
Mm.
I could say that the whole breeze, everything.
So much of greenery in Anantapur now. It's so lush, green and well-maintained.
And I felt, yes, I have come to the heaven of the universe. So it made the entire life, my life is filled with Swami when I entered the campus. Now fully, Didi, I can't say, it is like, and after that, as soon as I finished my B.Ed. course, and then when I entered with the school, and I felt very blessed to being with kids. So I'm ever grateful to Swami for giving me such wonderful opportunity. And then being part of this, again meeting all my batchmates, and then all the senior sisters, even my juniors, I'm ever grateful to Swami for this wonderful opportunity.
Truly. Thank you, Achita. Nirmala Shekhar, excuse me. You've been associated with the Satya Sai movement and Sai activities for decades now after you left the campus, and we have played a very important role in organizing the registration because of your technological background. What does it feel like to now see all of it come together? We've been working for months over WhatsApp and long distance calls, and suddenly you are on the hot seat, seeing all the systems you devised now playing out. What's the feeling like? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
Well, first thing is, when something goes wrong, I'm thinking, oh, I should have thought of that. That's my first response. But apart from that, I see Swami's hand in every little thing. He's covering up for our flaws, and he's opening up our hearts and our minds to expansion. I feel personally, for me, even as I hear my sister speaking, the theme for this GJC is expansion. Swami says expansion is my life. When I see the younger sisters coming and sharing their hearts so openly and being so efficient and capable in carrying out all the jobs, it really feels so fantastic. And I feel that as the alumna, that they are going to be the future flag bearers of the Sai movement, there is a lot of hope and a lot of things for me to look forward to as well.
Truly. Yeah. And all these months, that how did you manage to balance your home, your work, your profession, and the kind of planning you girls did on the tech team? It was really very systematic and professional. How did you balance and time manage?
Actually, I have never looked at WhatsApp in my life as much as I did in the last one year.
All of us, yes. And it gets populated every few seconds. There are messages rolling in.
Yeah. And so I've told myself that after this event, I'm going to take a tech break for a short while.
A sanity break. Yes.
To recover from this. Yes, I think technology has played a big part. And not just technology, but the willingness of everybody to put aside whatever is on their plate so that they can come forward and work on this. So, you know, it's, I'm meeting people after 30 years, some of them, and it's like there has been no time divide at all. We just continued. We gave a hug. We said, welcome. And then we started work immediately on the same wavelength. And that is something that Anantapur has given us. I think that ability to reconnect, start without any delay whatsoever, on the same mind. Everybody is focused on doing the work and welcoming everybody.
You know what I call it? I say Swami trained us to hit the ground running and keep running.
Yes.
There is no time to catch your breath. Don't get distracted here and there.
Yes.
And I think that's how he keeps us occupied. Otherwise, the mind is a devil that can go here and there and get caught up in everything from, you know, a celebrity's wedding outfit to, whining about your little body aches and pains and little problems in life. But he keeps us so constructively engaged in, yes, his divine work,
yes,
and he takes care of all our work.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Haven't you found that?
I have found that. I have found that in every aspect of my life, but especially so right now, that I'm just focused here and all my personal things, somebody else is there to take care. So it's been... I feel Swami's hand in every little aspect.
And you know, normally if you're organizing a dinner at home for 10 people or a wedding in a family for 200 people, you're so overwhelmed. This is 2,800 people plus on-the-spot registration, so the numbers are likely to exceed 3,000.
Yes.
And this requires such mammoth organization, planning, event management. Yet we find the girls are just offering their services and coming in and, as I said, hitting the ground running, and they keep running with it. They're sort of already pre-trained for everything.
Yeah. And for me, I feel that Swami is managing everything in very concrete terms. So if I think at any point that I'm the one doing it, then I get all stressed up and worked up. Oh, I haven't thought of that. But if I take a step back and say, Swami, this is your program. What are we going to do? And then he sends the right person in and the right ideas and the right connections. Everything is taken care of. So this is my personal sadhana to take myself out of the equation so Swami can work through us.
Nicely said. I think we all need that reminder constantly, because we suddenly get so stressed out and start hyperventilating. Oh my God, I forgot this, I forgot that, haven't confirmed this. But then Swami is taking care, and as I said, the ashram is being so cooperative and,
yes,
helpful. So that has been the backbone, the big support to us.
Yes, everybody has been helping us and receiving us with welcoming arms and welcoming hearts. So that is, we see Swami's hand in all these little details.
Yes.
Thank you, Karina.
Thank you, Nirmala. So, dear listeners, that was our registration and accommodation team bringing us up to speed on how things are being managed. And now I'm going to turn to two members of the packaging team. There seems to be a colony of hard-working ants who are constantly packing, putting things in boxes, busy as bees. So what is it all about? There are two sisters here. I will request them to please self-introduce themselves and tell us what's going on.
Sairam Didi, I'm Saujanya Pudi, a grateful alumna of Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus, class of 1996. Being part of the packaging team has been the Prasadam packaging team has been an overwhelming experience, because this is where we really understand what Swami has trained us and made us what we are today. When we look at it, the numbers are huge, as the registration team has just pointed out. It's about 3,000 plus. And then packaging stuff for catering to about all of them is a humongous task. And you would be surprised when you see the involvement of girls who have come in from all across. And when we look at the packaging thing, when we talk about expansion, we have tried to cater all across the country. We've had stuff coming in. So we had to plan it a month before to understand how we would sequence it, who would be there to receive this stuff when it enters the ashram, how would it be brought in, and after that, how are the girls going to come in batches to pack it? Because as you understand, the numbers are huge. And when we are looking at it, we are having prasadam packing happening in Vrindavan. So you have a battery of people working in it. And the feedback we received this morning is we had the Vriddhashram people, the Vriddhashram which Swami had started off in Vrindavan, the old ladies there would come in batches to pack the packets. And after that, yesterday we had the packaging happening by the Bangalore alumni. And the Bangalore alumni, they had to do it in a day's time, had to complete all the tasks. And this is only possible with His grace. And that's when we tried.
And His training, I guess.
And His training.
Yeah.
And when Swami said, and this morning when I was just looking at, when I had to come for this show with Karunadi, I was just looking at a quote. And when Swami says, the foundation of this institute, He said that, I would want our girls, our students, to have the intellect of Adi Shankara, the wisdom of Buddha, and hands of Janaka. That means absolute detachment from the task you did after you have done the task. And that's precisely how our girls, I mean, when we, in the morning the girls were telling us that there were girls who had left their children, they've left their families because they had to complete the task and package it and then come. And here in Prashantanilaya.
I'm sure in good care though.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in Prashantanilayam, after the security work, the security girls and teams of girls staying up right from morning till evening in batch-wise. They didn't go for a break, but then it was all planned and there was somebody getting them food, ensuring that things are put. And when you look at it, Swami would always say that once in a year, when we used to have the messenger's day and when he would give us the outgoing interviews, he would say, once in a year, come. As a father would give his daughters pasupu kumkum, you know, I would give you what I could. Right? And when we start packing things and looking at it, then we look at the magnanimity with which Swami had done things and how he actually managed. And when we have to cater to it, and then we say, Swami, you have to do it. It is beyond our capacity. And one important thing is to transport these stuffs back to the ashram. The whole of yesterday, the girls were looking around looking for carton boxes, and we had a great help from the ashram, people who transported stuff, and the girls sitting there. You know, we had to do it like three different batches went ahead to source the cartons, and then after it was brought in. If you go there, it is like professional carriers packing stuff. Mm. And that training we have received in Anandapur. We can do it anything. We are the golden girls who could do anything. That's the kind of a training we have got. You would have somebody packing up the unpacked cartons, packing them back into a carton, putting in stuff, sealing it as professionals, tagging it properly so that there's no confusion when it is taken to the mandir. So this kind of stuff is something which our girls are able to do. And yesterday was one senior lady who came in and I mistook her. I said, Didi, auntie, packing is over. Did you come for your daughter or something? She said, no, I'm a student. I was the first batch of B.Ed. And I said, I'm sorry about it. So we have elderly sisters aging as old as grandmoms to moms and all generations.
And they're still single young girls as well.
And the young girls as well. So after their practice, and each one wants to be a part of this. No, Didi, I have come all the way. I want to do this. You know, I want to sit down and put this, you know, packet. Because we go back to our college days as alumni, as students then, when we would come for our gratitude programs before we leave the campus, we would pack some things and then all of us would chant the Gayatri Mantra and pack it. And it was the same energy. Years have passed, but things have not changed at all. With the same feeling, we have Swami's bhajans going on in his voice and all of them maintaining silence. And the best thing is, which I'd like to share with the learners, is the girls are packing prasadam and they say it's so yummy that, you know, and they've been working at a stretch. And then we understand how much of feeling with which they are doing. And they said, we're always chanting. And then we had a batch of girls trying to make another set of packets. And they would continuously, non-stop, chant the Sai Gayatri and go ahead. Because we are again meeting together, meeting all 50 batches, 50 years of students together, coming back together and want to share the same love. And Swami would say, the feeling and the bhava is very important. And that's where I think all of our sisters are trying to do their best to pack the stuff.
Thank you, Sajani. And as you said, you know, the Anandapur has trained us to fall into line in an instant and start working in an assembly line mechanism. So we all just get into that gear. It doesn't matter if you know each other personally or if you graduated 20 years apart. Once we are together, we know how to bring in the efficiencies of Anandapur training into play and immediately fall into place.
Absolutely.
Now, go ahead. Well, you know, you keep talking about stuff. I'm not going to ask you what the stuff is because it's from Bhagwan and it's a big surprise. But what else can you tell us about the packing team? Go ahead, sister.
My pranams to you, Swami. Sai Ram Didi. I'm Vijayalakshmi Suresh from Toronto, Canada. I'm a grateful alumna of Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning, class of 1998. First of all, I'm very happy to say that I'm sharing this space with my room senior Saujani Akka, who just spoke now. We met after 22 years and we are in the same packaging team and still continuing to receive our instructions. And I don't feel, I feel very elated and I'm very happy to hear that.
Once a room leader, always a room leader.
Always a room leader. Once a junior, always a junior too. So I'm very happy to see her like this, guiding and guarding us from making mistakes. And this is one thing, and I'm also very reminiscent of the yesteryears where we were called, we girls were called to the South Indian canteen to make laddus and to do the packing and to roll the chapatis, to cut the vegetables, all of this seva, and we would do it so happily, even to wash the dishes and all of that. And throughout Didi, what we have been trained to do is, we would, as she said, it's either Sai Gayatri or Savita Gayatri or Bhajan singing, and it's always the constant vibration. It's not about what we are doing it, it's about how we are doing it. That's the thing, you know, the spirit and the purity. The purity in thought right now is, we are offering our gratitude to Swami. There is nothing else we can offer to you, Swami. Please accept it. And this is one thing. And the other, gratitude, and Swami stressed on this purity, and then we do it in a very united way. And even as we were packing yesterday, mm-hmm. we would always talk about our experiences and what Swami did in different batches, in different timelines. For example, during my batch, Swami started the summer course again. That was the 70th birthday. Then he gifted the Anandpur dormitory to us during the 70th birthday again. And again, I also had the witness to see the golden chariot. There's so many of this, the water project. Mm-hmm. So we were constantly discussing about these things.
The night satsang on the side.
Nights, that's what it's all about, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't detour, or, you know, we don't talk about our professional goals or nothing else, nothing personal. It's all about Swami. And also, one interesting point which I want to make a note, there was this two alumni, mother and daughter. Mm-hmm. The mother belonged to the 1981-82 batch, and the daughter belonged to the 2013 batch.
Sai Jayanti.
Jayanti and Sai Kiran. Yeah. And even in my case, I'm an alumni, and so is my daughter. She's not an alumni. She's currently studying in Sai School, Canada. So both of us are recipient of the same teachings, and we share each other's. Yes.
Thank you, Viji. That was very nice. Very briefly, Sajanya, your final thoughts?
Didi, when we look at it, when we're trying to package the stuff which is coming in, the gratitude and the love of the girls is so overwhelming, you know. Everybody wants to do something for it. So we have stuff coming in from Chennai, you have something coming from Bangalore, and girls wanting to do it. And the end task is, how do you actually package it and offer it the way Swami would? Because Swami was very particular about quality. And when we look at it, it is not what we have learned, and what we look at it is, it is only God, it is only Swami who can do what he could do. We humanly are only guided by him. We cannot, and we only try to match his standards. And yesterday we really gave up. We just said, Swami, you take care. Because the numbers were huge, and how would you do it? And it has to be to his standards, right? And all the training which Anandpur gave us so far has actually helped us to get in line and ensure that this event takes off in his way, in his style.
Thank you, Sajanya. Viji, your final thoughts?
Yes, Swami would always say that, you know, all his activities are like, you know, Nitya Kalyanam, you know, and Pachay Toranam, which is like, you know, it is a wedding, as you also mentioned, where people come together and, you know, we share the joy and the happiness. So that is one main purpose. And also, I remember one of our teachers telling that, you know, Swami's way of asking, like Pelli and wedding, is the inner significance of it is like, you know, the Jivatma comes in contact with the Paramatma. That is the wedding that he is talking about.
The spiritual union of the soul with the
soul and the Paramatma. So here we are gathered in one entity as Anandpur Camp. And we are those Jivatmas, and he's the only Purusha, as he always says. And so this is the underlying meaning, and this is one of those celebrations, GJC.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. It's very nice to have all of you in the studio. And dear listeners, just for your information, while we're speaking of this great packaging happening here in Prashanthi Nilayam, a similar huge yagna of seva is taking place in the city of Chennai, where our sisters are sitting in an assembly line for the last little while, packaging stuff, because we have alumni in all major Indian metros, and all of them are contributing towards the grand success of the upcoming celebrations. So we have divided our chores, and everybody voluntarily offered to take up one slice of the pie to put together, and they are all working, singing bhajans, putting things together. They travel long distance to get together at common common venues, and they're all traveling tonight. We wish them a safe trip, and safe trip to all our sisters who are all arriving early tomorrow morning with lots and lots of stuff from Swami for all the sisters. So that was our update for today. I think this will be the last update before the big day itself. And I'm also going to now play two audio clips from sisters that we have received, the golden voices of the golden girls of God incarnate, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, at whose lotus feet we bow with deep gratitude, humility, awe and reverence always, and remain so grateful for the gift of his presence in our lives. And after that, I'm going to conclude the show with part three of our ongoing series, Tryst with Divinity. This time, under the spotlight, continues to be Mr. Colonel Malhotra, and he's in conversation with my colleague, Bishu Prushti of Radio Sai. So please stay tuned to the rest of the program, and I will be eagerly waiting for your response and your feedback. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company, and have a Sai-some awesome day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
I'm Deepa Jaganmohan. I completed my BCom in the year 1990. When I look back over the years of our college and hostel life, those years look like a beautiful oasis with Swami in the center. I often feel life is like a roller coaster ride with sharp twists, turns and bends everywhere. Often, by the time we realize there's a bend, we are already in it. Through all this, I've always relied on the vast reservoir that Swami has created inside each one of us. At a time when we were preoccupied with things like first-line darshan and getting things blessed by him, he was filling each one of us with what we really needed in our life, though we didn't realize it then. Today we are still drawing from that reservoir. For all this, a mere thank you is ridiculously insufficient. But for want of a better word, I can only say this insufficient thank you. Thank you so much, Swami, for everything you have done for us.
My name is Mahita Jaganmohan. I belong to the BCom batch of 2004. Sai Ram to all the members of the Sai family. I spent 3 years in the Anandpur campus, and the lessons I learned from there are many. Right from mundane things like getting up at 4:45 in the morning, wearing a sari, sweeping and mopping the floor, and adjusting with so many roommates and learning to love them. There are many lessons I have learned over there. Beyond this, these 3 years have helped me face the rest of my life. I have seen many ups and downs and uncertainties in life, and I have had Swami's presence and support too in the form of dreams. As the going got rough, the rough got going. I have learned to trust in His wisdom, and I take life one day at a time, holding on tightly to His hand. As for unforgettable memories, I remember our farewell song that we had practiced for days. And finally, when we were granted our time with Swami, it was in the open darshan ground. All of us distorting the ragas by sobbing uncontrollably, with the public looking on. But we did get Padmavaskar, and a look of such supreme love shone in Swami's eyes. That glance keeps me alive even today. Thank you so much, Swami, for bringing me into your fold.
Again, coming to another incident, two of them, I'll narrate them together. I have two rings with me. The first one was this one. And the second one was this one. They came at different times, mm-hmm. at different places, on different occasions, in the interview rooms, other than whatever he gave to my wife, my mother and things like that. This came first. Mm-hmm. Once when he was sitting inside, I was playing with Swami's hand like this in the interview room, and Swami put his hand on top of mine. He removed his hand from below and put it on top, and I found him feeling my fingers. It didn't strike me, and I was enjoying it. I said, generally, we as devotees play with Swami's feet and Swami's hands. Mm. And here Swami is feeling it. What could be it? And I just kept quiet and we kept talking and whatever. Then Swami looked at me. Kya chahiye? I was quiet.
What do you want?
What do you want? He said, what do you want? I was quiet and I said, Swami, I just want peace. I was retired then. I said, Swami, I just want peace. He looked at this thing and he did this, and out came a warm silver ring with Baba's picture on it. He fitted it in and I found it was a little tight. He put it in. He said, "Theek hai." Now I said that if I say it is tight, he may take it back and not give me another one. Mm. So I said, "Nee, Swami, perfect fit." He says, no, it's too tight. Now I was wondering, will it go away? You know, here's a lifetime gift I'm getting. If Swami takes it away and he doesn't, is not in a mood to give me another one, I'll be a loser. But then Swami has his own ways. He said, nay. And then he said, I had seen the ring. It was silver with Baba's picture on it. He said, nay. Army ke andar, military. He said, not army, he said military. He would not say army, he would always say military. And to me also, he would address me as military or as general. He said, military mein log bolta hai, bolega, they'll criticize you. So, I will change from silver to gold and from Swami to Om. And he read this and out came another ring which he fitted me and this was the ring. That silver got converted. That silver got converted to gold. And what you see here is where Baba was earlier and he felt that in the military people may talk, how can a man in human body be called God? What is this? Colonel, military, falling astray. Criticism can be there. The Swami understands everything. He understands the pulse of the whole world. Understands the pulse of humanity. He said, no, let me change it. From silver to gold, for whatever reason, I don't know. And from Baba to Om. I have got Om written here. And this is a universal figurative of God, of spirituality.
Absolutely.
And this is how I got this. I felt very happy. This came later, but that later time. Now, this came 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever period, lots of time passed, 25, 30 years have passed, 25 years. I was playing golf. I go for golf quite regularly in Bangalore. Now, for want of a more stern, more rigorous exercise to do, which I can't with my age. And golf, it gives me about 4 hours, 9 kilometers of walk, 4 days a week. So I'm able to clock around 200 kilometers every month walking. Now, in other words, the golf course extends, if you were to walk in the golf course, it is around 8.5 kilometers long. I was wearing this. I wore a glove on top. I wore a glove here. But then at some times you remove the glove while you are hitting a golf ball. Now, there are 18 holes. What happened, I don't know. But when I came back and I reached my home, I found this ring gone.
Oh my God.
It was missing. I sweated and I did not know what to do. I drove back to the golf course, military golf course, and I asked there were one or two caddies. But if a caddy gets gold in his hand, I'm sure he's not going to give it to me. And they don't know the value of this. So I asked people, bhi koi ring mila, koi dekha? He said, nahi sahab. There's a shopkeeper who sells golf clubs and golf items. I asked him, tumko kuch mila? He said, nahi. I wondered, I said, my God. I walked through it was getting dark. I walked through a few areas and then I said, 9 kilometers, how can I search? It's all grass. It's all grass and if the ball goes off the grass, that is wild area, undergrowth. How can you look at it? I went home, next day I couldn't sleep the whole night. I kept cursing myself. Why did I take this with me? I spoke to Ashish. I got a mouthful from him. I spoke to my daughter. I got a mouthful from her. My wife, of course, cursed me that, look, I don't know, you get it. How can you lose it like this? Carelessness. I did not know what to do. And I prayed to Swami, please help. Next day, again, I went there and I told him that I put a notice on the board that anybody who finds the golden ring, if you find it, please return it. Its value is more than its gold. I will give you 5,000 rupees as a reward for returning me the ring. Nothing happened. I was frustrated. Every day I would stand in front of my mandir at home and I would tell Baba, look Baba, I am not interested. You used to listen to my mother earlier and she demanded and you did whatever it was. I want you to return my ring. You are not here at this moment. In your human body, but I don't know what you do. I can't even go and speak to you because you're not here. He had left his body by then. I said, look, Swami, you got to do something. I want my ring. Every day morning when I went to the office, I would tell him I want my ring. When I came back from work, I want my ring. I started playing golf 4 days, 5 days a week. And throughout the time I was looking down, can I get the ring in 9 kilometers of walk? Okay, it was wilderness. 1 month. This happened in November. November gone. December gone. January gone. And I kept telling Swami, look Swami, I am not interested. I want the ring back. You take it from me only when I am dead and gone. And before I go to the mortuary, please take the ring back. But I want the ring back. November gone, December gone, January gone, February gone, March gone. 5 months ho gaya, then I also started saying that I don't know, but I carried on. Swami, I want my ring. I want my ring. I want my ring. April gone. 5 months without this, and I was feeling miserable. And my son, every time he spoke to me from wherever he was posted, I think it was Bombay, he said, ring mila. I said, kahan se milega? 9 kilometers of wilderness, and even if a caddy picks it up from somewhere, he'll take it. Why should he give it to me? It's gold. And the caddy are, you know, they are just guards and security guards or people who are unemployed, and they come for earning a 200 rupees for each course. November gone, December gone, January, February, March, April. On 6th of May, Isharama's day, I get a call from that shopkeeper. That shopkeeper, he rang me up and he said, Sab, aapka 3-4 months back kuch guma tha. I said, 3-4 months, nahin, 7 months, 6 months back, I had lost my ring. I said, why has this issue come up now? I said, kya hua, kya hua, batao main aap, should I come to you right away? I was about 5 kilometers away. My home was 5 kilometers from, 4 kilometers from the golf course. So he said, sir, here, talk to somebody. And he put, he gave the telephone, his mobile, to an Air Force officer, wing commander, somebody, I'm forgetting his name. And that wing commander said, you lost something? I said, yes, I lost my gold ring. He said, it doesn't look like a ring. Yeah, he said that it doesn't look like a ring, but it's very dirty. I don't know whether it's gold or not, but I found it at such and such hole in such and such place. It was lying in the wilderness and it is all flat. It's a piece. It's just a piece like this. I said, never mind. I am coming to you right away. He said, no, I am going home at the moment. He went and showed it to his wife and he said that this is something I have found and let's keep it with us. He said that finders keepers, losers weepers.
Oh,
his wife, she saw the word Om written there, this one. She said, no, I don't think you should do that. She told her husband, who was a wing commander, no, this must go back to the rightful owner. This has got certain religious or spiritual or, I mean, it has got something more than just the value of gold. That is how he called me. So, I told him that should I come right away? He said, no, come tomorrow morning because now it is 6:30 in the evening and before it gets dark, I think he was a retired man. I must reach home because I don't drive at dark. The whole night I kept praying, I hope it's my ring, I hope it's my ring. And my wife also kept saying this, I hope it's my ring, I hope it's my ring. And finally, next day morning when I went to him, he gave me this ring, having lying in the wilderness for 7 months, 6 months.
Wow.
On Isharama day, I got this ring. I took it home with my toothbrush. I cleaned the whole thing. It was flat. Then, see, a bit of mending I can do.
Yes.
Being a science background. I gave it back this shape by tapping it, by putting a, you know, that
yes.
A shaper. It's called a shaper. I used something like that. Tapped it. Cleaned it. Did some local shining. Toothpaste rubbing. Got it back to shape. And thereafter, I wrote a letter of thanks to Swami. 7 months Swami tortured me. 6 months Swami tortured me. I wrote a letter of thanks. Then after about, you see, there's celebration in the sense I'd been found. Ashish was also very happy. My daughter Pooja was also very happy. My wife, again, swooning. And then finally, I said, 7 days back, I wrote a letter to Swami. I think I can now take it away from the mandir. You see, after keeping the letter for 2-3 days, you keep take it out. Otherwise, you will have a complete postman's job there, so many letters lying there. So, I took the letter out and I found a spot of vibhuti on it. And I said, Swami has acknowledged, received all this. And he said, be more careful on it. Now, I'm very careful. Before I wear my gloves, I remove both these things, put them into my pocket. Initially, I thought I'll put a thread around it and tie it here. My wife said, what about when you bend, when there's a jerk given, you'll again lose it. I said, yes. Now I keep it here. And after every two holes, every half an hour, I put my hand around to see abhi hai na. Now, the point that I'm saying is that if you insist with a genuine heart to Swami, Swami says, I am always there with you and I'll help you out whenever you need me. I told you a number of examples of my mother asking for this. Swami always complied with her demands.
It happens even now, even though he's left the physical.
He's left the body. Yeah, he's there. As far as I'm concerned, he's not gone. He's still there. I talk to him freely. And at the mandir every day, when I switch on the light and I switch off at night, I say, bye Swami. Bye Swami. Afternoon, before I switch off the light, at 3 o'clock after lunch, I say, Swami, now you can also go and rest. And I switch off the light. I communicate with him. The reason I communicate is because I have a very strong belief that Swami is already with me, irrespective of his body or not. And here when I demanded, for 5 months Swami tested me. Is this demand genuine? Is this demand from his heart or not? And when Swami found that I'm incorrigible and I'm insisting and I'm insisting and I'm insisting, he said, let me give this thing and satisfy him. Mm-hmm. And I got this ring back. It was amazing. This is a miracle.
Absolutely.
I spoke to one or two people here and they said that you straight to put it into Sanatan Sarathi.
Mm-hmm.
That time I said that I'm going to write a book and this will be one full chapter. Because it is something beautiful. It is an experience. Imagine a gold ring, 7 months, lying in the wilderness. Dogs would have stepped on it. People would have stepped on it. Rain, sun, whatever.
Exactly.
And yet, it comes back to a small little person called Arun Malhotra after seven on Ishrama Day.
It's the power of prayer.
It's the power of prayer. It's all a power of prayer. This was the second ring that came in. This was the second ring that came in. He said, he asked me, where is your engagement ring? Aapka marriage ring kida? Where is your marriage ring? I said, Swami, purana baat ho gaya. I don't have it. He said, wedding ring is a ring for unity between two people. I said, yes, Swami, but I kept quiet. He says, unity between you and me. And he did this and the silver one came. Oh. But then again, he said, Sai Baba, Swami nahi, Shirdi Baba deka. Again, he had this in mind that since I am going to be wearing it for the rest of my life, let nobody criticize Kanwar Malhotra that why are you having Swami, who was then in human form, his ring. So both, here Sai Baba changed to Om, here Sai Baba changed to Shirdi Baba, which I know is one and the same thing. These two rings came at different times. And then you see, Swami is very kind. I come from a family, I got sanskars from my parents. My parents were very clean and my father was a very simple soul, very simple soul. My mother, she was a tomboy, but she was able to refine herself very well as soon as she came into Swami's fold. Now, just a small this thing of where my parents are. When my father passed away, we came here. After passing away and all the functions that we have, after all that, I had taken leave, we came here and we told Baba. You see, those days, since Baba was not very communicative, one would always write a letter and also say that if I get an opportunity while giving the letter, I'll speak to him also. So my mother had the right on her husband rather than the son on his father. So my mother had the letter with her, and when Swami came, she gave the letter with tears in her eyes and she told him, I lost my husband. Swami looked at her, he nodded and he said, Mere paas hai. And he walked away. So that was a consolation. Here now Swami was able to understand what's going on in the wife's heart.
He said, he's with me.
And he said, he's with me. Then we said, no, it is very good. A simple man, my father, her husband, and Swami says, he's with me, don't worry. You carry on with your life. We turned the page. Now I go to my mother. I lost my mother 1 year before Swami. 1 year. Here again, she passed away. Before that, about 6 months earlier, she came here, normal darshans. And Swami again, as usual, whenever my mother came, he would always take time out with her. He said, kaisa hai? She said that Swami, bahut pain karta idhar udhar, Swami said, Mataji, you can't fight nature, can you? She said, no. You can't fight time, can you? My mother said, no. He says, I am also in human body, you are also in human body. You can't fight time, you can't fight nature. I can't fight time, I can't fight nature. We did not know what he meant was it at that time, except that he was trying to tell my mother that it's nature to a body which is born must decay and go. You can't fight time because there's a time for the body to come and go. We left it at that. 6 months later, my mother passed away. It was a very nice clean death. She was not ailing very badly, though I could make out at 85 years she was ailing. And once they passed away and things, rituals were finished, I again came back here with a letter. And Swami was unwell that time, as you are aware, in the last 2, 3, 4 years he was unwell. He was there on the chair. This happened just 1 year before Swami himself decided to leave. So Swami came to me. I gave him a letter. It was an open letter, not in an envelope, open, just to inform him that my mother has passed away. I was seated and Swami came and his chair came in front of me. I showed it to him. I think his eyes were wet. His eyes were wet. He, if you remember, he wouldn't talk much those days.
Yes.
He was quite, his body was in a state of disrepair. He looked at me, he looked at the letter, folded it. He had wet eyes when he read it. Of course, he knew it. And then he raised his hand and did it this way, trying to say that your mother is with me. And then he gave that letter back to me and he said, carry on. All people around at that time in the portico were very touched. They did not know what that letter was, which they came to know later, but they certainly knew there's something sad. Because Swami, when he came to me, he had a small smile. He didn't smile much during those days, that last 12 months. He did not have much of a smile. But all of a sudden, when he read the letter, he showed a tear in his eyes. A very rare thing. How can God show a tear? But the eyes were wet, I could make out. But then, something very magnanimous, something very good was when he raised his arm, which he wouldn't raise earlier. He just raised his arm to say that your mother is with me. I felt happy that my father is also gone with him, merged with him. My mother has also merged with him. And I came back with that consolation from here back and told all my relatives, my mother's daughters and everybody else that this is what's happened. The point that I am trying to say is that if you are genuinely in love with God, God looks after you. If you are genuinely pure at heart and you are a person to be proud of by God, God will not let you come back again. Life is not very comfortable. He'll keep you with Him, absorb you with Him. And thereafter, what happens, I don't know. Some people call it moksha, some call it mukti, whatever. I have a consolation that my father and mother lived their full life and they have gone back and God Himself has said they are with me. What happens thereafter is God's play. That is the only way we console ourselves, and I think it's quite a ritual consolation. It's quite a correct consolation that Swami has said, both of them are with me. I presume both my parents have got mukti or moksha after they left. I wish I too would get a similar exit. Now, before I come to the last 3 points, I had recorded 3 more points which are meant for the public.
Okay.
Because they were the directions of Swami for the public, but I'm not sure whether it has reached them or not. But then before that, before coming here, just half an hour before I came here, I was just contemplating that out of the 7 points, is there anything that is important and I missed out? And I said, let me speak to you on a small event, a miracle, small miracle, not so very serious, which happened day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
When I spoke to you and you said, sir, you come over, we'd like to interview you for this thing. And I said, yes, I'm coming on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday are available to you and Wednesday I go back. Today is Tuesday. I then rang up my son's in-laws.
Yes.
Because I need somebody to take me along because yes. Being a heart patient, I don't think it's very safe for me to travel alone. I wish I could. I asked them. They said they will come. I felt very happy. Okay, now I am coming. And that's when I gave you a call that I am coming on Tuesday, Wednesday, on Monday, Tuesday. Now, I then immediately rang up accommodation office and told them that, look, I am coming and I would request you for two rooms. And they asked me the date, time, etc. And they said, given. I told them that I'll come at around 1:32 in the afternoon. And Unni would not be there. Generally, Unni gives me accommodation. I said, Unni will not be there, so please give to me. And they said, yes. Then my Ashish mother-in-law, her name is Meena, she rang up and she said, Bhai Sahab, it's so hot. Can't you ask them for accommodation, for air-conditioned rooms? I said, look, Meena, this is not correct. We are going to an ashram. Don't expect air-conditioned accommodation. And secondly, whatever Swami gives, I don't have to ask him. Whatever Swami gives is all right. It makes no difference after we are just going for 3 or 4 days. She said, but Bhai Sahab, it's so hot. It's quite uncomfortable. I said, look, you can't convince me. I am not going to speak to anybody in the accommodation office and ask them to give me air-conditioned accommodation. I've only asked them that since we are elders, we are in our 70s. All three of us are in the 70s. We can't climb the first floor. All I told him was, if possible, give me a ground floor. She said, Bhai Sahab, please ask for air. I said, look, Meena, you can't convince me like this and I am going to put down the receiver. I can't ask them. I can't be so specific. Swami will say I'm demanding. Yes, whatever accommodation Swami gives is all right. So she said, theek hai. So we came in the car also. You know, I wish there's a miracle. I wish I get an air condition. I said, let's not talk of it. Once we get accommodation, we'll see. We came. We reached at 2 o'clock, 1:45 or something. Therefore, yesterday, I went to the accommodation office. And she had her fingers like this, that I wish we get air-conditioned rooms. I wish we get air-conditioned. I said, there are no air-conditioned rooms here. What do you expect? And then we went inside and two rooms had already been earmarked for me. And they were lying with a slip on the front reception. So the moment I told him I'm Colonel Malhotra, they said, yes, sir, your rooms are already here. And he gave the two rooms and tuck, 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 tuck and said, go. We went to W7. Allotted to me was A3 and A5. A3 was okay. I think it's Dr. Bhatnagar's room. And mine was in a state of disuse. I'll not say it was uncomfortable, but there were a lot of shortcomings in it. Perhaps it required some attendance, which I'll be speaking to somebody in the accommodation office that requires repairs. But anyway, I have no craves because whatever Swami gives, we need to accept it. And that's what Swami says. Accept what I give you and be happy. We got it. It was very hot and I had got just about 45 minutes before we go for our Vedas followed by the bhajans. Day four yesterday, Sunday. So I also lay down and I was wondering. I said, it's so hot, it's so miserable. But I kept quiet. Now, when I said that, let me go early and I'll sit in the mandir. You see, what I do is when I go to the mandir, during the Veda period, I go and sit inside the mandir. I'm generally just one or two people who are sitting there. At least it's more airy and it is quite comfortable. And I have Baba and all his throne and everything else there. One feels good. When the bhajan starts, that's the time when I come out and then take my place on a chair. And now, just before I left, a notification came, ting tong, on the mobile. And first I said, I'll see it later, I'm on my way out. I said, but then I said, okay, let me just see it. I saw it. There's a message from Unni. Mr. Unni Krishan is the accommodation officer. And what message he said was, we have air-conditioned rooms available. In case you want air-conditioned rooms, please contact the accommodation office.
Oh, wow.
I have not met Unni. I had not met Unni this time. I still haven't met him. I've got to go and say thank you. And we went. As soon as I went there back after the darshans, after the bhajans, we went to the accommodation office. Unni was not there. He is not there at that time. And we said that I had a message from Unni. He said, air conditioned room chahiye na? I said, yes. He took out two keys and he said, here you are. Select what do you want. Now with me was Meena Narula, who was jumping up and down, mil gaya room. And we went there and I found that that's a 3-star place. I'd never seen it. Last 40 years, I did not know that there are certain air-conditioned rooms available for guests.
These were done recently.
Yeah, I did not know about it. And we went there and I am now staying there without any demands to Swami, mind you. And Swami was making Unni an instrument to listen to my pleading and request. Okay, I wish one was. I did not know about it. And here was the air condition. Last 40 years, I've never been so comfortable as I am since day four yesterday, being in an air-conditioned house, recently done up. The toilet is perfect. And I'm having nice... Here again, the point is, you don't have to ask Swami. You don't have to ask your God what you want. God knows what you want. He will give it to you at the right time and at the right opportunity. When you need it, you will get it. Don't therefore bicker and hope and pay, Baba, do this, Baba, do this. I wish it was this, I wish it was this. If he has to give, give. I didn't wish for an air-conditioned room. But in my heart, I said nothing like it, because Puttaparthi is a hot place and this is really a hot place. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes. The point that I'm trying to make is that Swami is omnipresent.
Yes.
He is understanding your problems, your thought. You don't have to express it. And yes, I think it's a message that goes to all devotees all over the world. You don't have to be demanding to Swami. Accept life the way he gives it to you. And you will find that it will not be wanting. All your decisions will be accepted by him. And if Swami wants to make you more comfortable, he wants to listen to your requirements, he understands you, he will provide it at the nick of time.
Yes.
That is something very, very important. One should not demand, you get it. Yes. I've told you, in all these miracles that I'm telling you, it's the same thing. Swami knows it. Swami has always said, in the books it's there, in his discourses he says, you take one step towards me, I will take 100 towards you. And all the examples that I've quoted are this. We just take one step, Swami, I love you. Swami says, I love you 100 times, and he comes to you and picks you up and makes you feel comfortable. Even when you are gone, if you've done a good job in life, he makes it known to the world that this gentleman is no one in this world, but he is with me. I have given him moksha. It's not difficult. It's not difficult at all. The only thing is, we are so worldly involved that we feel that the worldly luxuries are more important than godly luxuries. Now, talking of problems, everybody has problems. Everybody has problems. My mother came 6 months before she passed away, and she also said, and then she talked to somebody, they also said, 50% of the people who come here have got problems. And because of the problem, they come and give letters, Swami, I have got cancer. Swami, I have got this. Swami, I have got pain here. Swami, I have got this. Swami, this. Now, Swami, one issue, if you remember, he told my mother, which I told you earlier, he says that time and tide wait for nobody. Time aata hai, jana hai. Your health with age has to create a problem. And you cannot fight nature. Now here, Swami made a mention here. He explained it very nicely when I was a witness. My mother was a witness. My wife was a witness in an interview room. Swami said, people come to me with all sorts of problems, but they don't understand that the problems have to come. And that is how you go. They say that, please put me right. Set me right. He said, I have created nature. How do you expect me to fight nature? He mentioned these words twice. Hum nature create kiya. How can I fight nature? This is a sentence made worth its weight in gold. And then he said, all I can do is, I can not revive you, but I can decrease your pains. Again, a very important sentence that he has made, and everybody who listens to this talk must understand, you have with age or otherwise, you have to face the problems in your body, because a decaying procedure is a part of nature. It's a way to exit from this world by slowly the body decaying. The only thing, a consolation that God gives to us as devotees is, I can't fight nature, but I can help you decrease your pain. But accept what nature is offering you. Now, I have problems. my knees are giving me, my hips are giving me, I have got diabetes, I have had a heart attack, there's so many things, you name it and I have it. But now, how can I tell Swami, Swami please set this right, part 2 Swami set this right, part 3 Swami set my pancreas right, part 4 set my heart right. Swami will say, look, you are being foolish, you are not a good devotee. I know it, at 75 years, my body has to decay and I have to go. These are the stepping stones towards the next part of my assignment which God has got to give me. Let me bear it as best as I can. The only thing is, it's very painful. I always tell Swami, Swami, please help. But that's basically not to give me more life, but to give me more power to face this pain. I think this issue all devotees in life must understand. We have to go. And we are not going to a bad place. We are going to Swami for another assignment, whichever it be. If we have been very good, He will keep us with Him, as He has said for my parents. And if we have been nasty people, bad people, well then I don't know what happens to us thereafter. What has happened. If you've done bad things, that's okay. But at least now don't repeat. And hope that God has forgotten the previous account and He is now looking at us as good people. And that's all. I really can't say anything to Swami on this. The next issue which Swami discussed with me in the interview room was on, in which God do you believe in? He said, somebody believes in this, somebody believes in this, somebody believes in this. So my mother said, hum kiska photo rakhe? He did not say, keep my photo. He said, Swami said, the problem is that there is an immediate need for all devotees to unclog their mandir. Now, what he tried to explain was that at home, we have all the photographs of all the gods that you can think of, even those god images whom you don't even know who they are, yet their photos are there. In a mandir, you got Shiva, you got Ganesha, you got Krishna, you got Rama, you got Lakshman, you got this, you got that. So many, you're clogging. Now, he said that if you clog your mandir like this, the mandir becomes not a place to meditate, but it only creates confusion in your mind. He said that, why do you go to mandir? What do you do? I said, Swami, when you go to the mandir, you close your eyes and visualize the image of God and tell Him, thank you for the day or whatever. Swami said, yes. But there's only one image that you have in life, in your mind. I said, yes. And he said, generally, what is it? I said, the photograph of Baba which is lying in front of me. He says, but in a mandir these days, there are so many pictures lying there. Mataji, aap batao. He told her mother, you please tell him, because in our mandir also it is clogged. My mother knew about it. The point that Swami is now making for all of us all over the world is, don't clog your mandir. He gives examples. He says, if you go to a church, there's only one cross in Jesus. When a person goes into a church, you think by closing your eyes, you are only looking at Jesus in your mind. He says, when you go to a Gurdwara, you are looking at a Granth and behind that a photograph of Guru Nanak. When you close your eyes, you have visualized the photo of Guru Nanak and that is all. When a Muslim goes to a masjid, he looks at the Quran and he feels that Quran itself is a holy book to be complied with. And he's focused on that. But he says, in our case, we have all sorts of gods in a mandir and you don't know now when you close your eyes, whom are you focusing on? Sometimes it is Baba, sometimes it is Krishna, sometimes it is Rama, sometimes it is Vishnu, sometimes it is Shankar, sometimes... And he says, there's total confusion. Now, you will agree with me, Vishu, isn't that a right statement that Swami made? The first thing we did when we went home, my mother, and this happened just about a few years before she passed away, and we tried to unclog it. Now, what happens is that you don't know what to do with the pictures or statues which have been given to us as a gift. Somebody gets Ganesha, you go to another party, they also give you a Ganesha. You go to third, somebody gives you a Rama statue. You go to somebody else, somebody gives another statue. You don't know what to do it. Easiest thing is, stack it in the mandir. But the damage is done. Now with all these things lying in the mandir, you, when you close your eyes, you don't know who is your God to focus on. The aim gets defeated. So he says, unclog your mandir. He did not mention to me, I had a mind that,
how do I encroach? Where do I throw a photograph of Baba? Or what do I do with an image of Lord Rama? I can't just throw it like this. But then, since Swami did not want me to talk on this issue, I kept quiet. But here's an exercise for all of us devotees in this world to unclog our mandir. This problem is more with Hindus, because we have got thousands of gods, hundreds of gods with us, and the pictures and the statues remain for posterity. Attempt should be made. If you have a photograph, don't buy any more photographs of God. Keep that till the time that has given way, and then have another. But if you have 10 photographs of 10 different gods, there is a total confusion in your mind. I thought that was a very important point, and which I wanted to put across through this forum for you to pass it on to the rest of the world and to posterity. The last point that I had with me was again something a little of a sensitive nature. There is a prayer, Om Tat Sat Shri Narayan Tu. Right?
Yes.
Now, you just repeat it again.
Om Tat Sat Shri Narayan Tu.
Tu. Now, Swami, in one of the interviews when we were sitting together, he asked my mother, Mataji, aapka parents ko kabhi aap tu bola? She said, nahi. Kya bolte the? Aap. He asked me, aap apna Mataji ko kya bolta hai? Tu bolta hai? I said, nahi. Kya bolta hai? Aap bolta hai.
You don't address elders with tu.
Ha, that's what he explained. Then he asked my son Ashish, your father and mother are here. Kya address karta hai? Tu bolta hai? He said, nahi Swami. Kya bolta hai? Aap. To mujhko log tu kyon bolta hai?
So when you address as an aap to elders.
He said that, why? So to which my wife said that, Swami, you are Swami and you can dictate to everybody what should be the word. And he said, tum kya bolta hai ghar mein? So my mother said that we have changed it ever since we did not like this idea of addressing you as tu. And wherever tu comes, in each line there is tu in the end.
Yes.
We say Sai. Om Tat Sat Shri Shri Narayan Sai. And it matches. The rhythm, the bhav, the rag, the tal, yes. It's all there with the sai. So she said, sab log kyun nahi karta aise? So when my wife said that, Swami, aap batao sabko. Now Swami is, see, now look at the maturity of God.
Swami asked why everyone is not singing that way.
He said, why does everybody not do it accordingly? Now, to which my wife said that, Swami, you only tell everybody, they'll do it. He said, I can advise people to respect others, but I can't demand respect for myself from others. I feel hurt when I am called true, but then I don't want to tell them, you call me aap, or you call me whatever. Now, that point was something very serious. Even Swami in his human form was conscious of the fact that I should not be demanding for myself. It will be selfish. It may be termed as an ego. That Sai Baba has also got ego. He wants himself to be called as up and not as tu. One could never think of these lines. And Swami was thinking on this line and he said, I don't have ego. I only feel sad. It was a personal one-to-one between our family and Swami. And Swami said that I feel sad that people call me as tu. I am their elder. He was 84, 83, 82, whatever. He said, look, I am their elder and yet people call me tu. I felt sad. And then we also told Swami, Swami, as far as we are concerned, we don't address you as tu. We have already changed this 10 years back. That instead of tu, we say, Om Tat Sat Shri Narayan Sai. And at every stage in all the lines of this prayer, we call it Sai. And it clicks very well. He said, I wish others knew about it. Others would do something. And he left it at that. When my wife passed away, a year and a half back, and we had Sai Bhajan at our place. So the Indranagar, I'm from Bangalore. Indranagar is a place not far from my place. And when their Samiti singers came to my house, now it is procedurally that after they finish with the bhajans, they speak out a thought for the day. I had told them that I'd like to speak personally as the widower of my wife who just passed away. And there I spoke on this particular issue and I found all those 7, 8, 9 people who were there, the singers who were there, they were quite seriously looking at each other that yes, we didn't realize it, that this is something which needs to be considered. I left it at that, and I said that it's now up to Swami at what stage these things change. Whether they change or not, I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know whether it'll be in my time or it'll be in your time or wherever. But I wanted to communicate to all the devotees all over the world that in this Om Tat Sat Shri Narayan too, this too is demeaning. A rough word, a bad word. I'll say that it is not a polite word. It is not a respectful word, and that too for God. You can't call God too. I would not call even my mother too. In fact, I don't even call my son too. My grandson, I don't call him too. There also I call him up. If everybody is up, why is God too? I really hope this message of mine goes through. Maybe I am an instrument of Baba to communicate this to you.
Wonderful.
I have enjoyed this and I'm feeling very light now that I have passed it on to the next generation and to the others, and I don't go away with a heavy heart at any time when I'm called. At least whatever was there in me, important issues, I have passed it on. The rest is up to Swami himself to see what is what. Thank you, Swami, for giving me this opportunity to talk about you and to talk about our association with you. We are very grateful to you and we remain yours loving. Sai Ram.